The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Tuesday. Glad to have you along. There's a lot of news all the time about Zionism. I think we have to kind of face a reality here that an argument can be made that this is now the planet Zion. I mean, their control of virtually every single nexus, choke point, or matrix of power is astonishing. I don't think the average person would even believe it if they were able to cognitively process that kind of information. This is a truly masterpiece of global takeover. And when you look at the alleged number of people on this planet who identify as being Jewish, it's 0.0025. I mean, it's a joke. How did they do it? I think most of you, after listening for years and years, could pretty well map that out. It has to do with money, bribery, blackmail, control of the masses through an entirely owned and operated mainstream and alt media, and murder whenever necessary. And if you really need to get serious, you can start a major war. The mechanism is not hard to understand, but the simple fact that they've done it is quite really astounding to me. How stupid 99.99% of the world population isn't, just never understood it. They were taken down. Life got soft for them. They were made happy. They were given toys. And they just didn't get it. Didn't get it. Here's a little quickie. I don't know what to make of this. We're going to try and figure this out. If you know about Chabad Lubavitch, the Rabbi Schneerson group, and I think it's about 30, 40% of Jews identify as being Lubavitchers now. A spokesman for Chabad, Moti Seligson, S-E-L-I-G-S-O-N, Seligson, said a group of extremist students, seems almost redundant, had secretly broken through the walls of a vacant building behind the headquarters of Chabad, creating an underground passage beneath a row of office buildings and lecture halls that eventually connected to the synagogue. Interesting. There'll be more about this. And if you also know that Jerry Kushner and Ivanka and et cetera are all, they're Lubavitchers. And this is something that, again, I want to reiterate that you really should read some of Rabbi Schneerson's writings about the Goyim. Understand, know your enemy. You've got to know who's after you. It's that bad. We have a very special guest tonight, a new guest to the program. I'm looking forward to this. Her name is Lori Kaufman. And many of you say, what, Kaufman? That's Jewish. Yes, it is. And Lori was born and raised Jewish. You think of Brother Nathaniel when you think of Lori Kaufman. She, just like Brother Nathaniel, has converted to Christianity. And it's a very interesting path to walk. She has inside information, like Brother Nathaniel does, about the mechanism of domination, ruthless domination, that many of these people exert over the masses. Lori, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I saw something recently, and I don't want to get into this too much, but I want to tie it into my first area of interest. I saw a short, as a news story, about schools in Israel, Jewish schools. And they had children in them. They were certainly speaking English as well as whatever. And these children, they're 3, 4, 5, 6, are being... Now, most Goyim don't know this. They are brought up from practically day one to think that they are chosen, that they are, in fact, better as a group and individually than all other human beings, the chosen. That message is pounded into their genetics, their social genetics, cultural genetics. They are literally forced to grow up with a credo that they are simply better than everyone else. And they have no problem in Gaza, for example, killing Palestinians, especially children, and they like pregnant women as targets too. These people are not like us. You have to understand that. They actually believe this garbage of being better than everyone else, and it's being quite clearly demonstrated in Gaza. That's what's going on here. Now, let me circle back, Lori, and ask you, how did you grow up? What was your childhood like? And did you get that same message at home or at synagogue or from friends? What's the story with that?
So it was kind of news to me about how the young children in schools are being raised there with that much of a superiority complex. We were always taught, sort of without knowing the meaning really behind it, that we are God's chosen people. What did that really mean? I'm not sure, but it was supposed to make us feel superior at some level to Goyim, if you will. I never bought into that, I have to say. One thing is my mom converted to Judaism before she married my father. She considers herself Jewish. But hearing stories about, when she first went to my dad's house, when they first, became a serious couple, and my grandmother went around the table and put a placemat in front of everyone and left her out. Things like that are really telling. And I just, I heard stories like that growing up, and I'm like, geez, grandma was like, I thought she was cool, but you hear stories, and it's just, it's pretty unreal and pretty disgusting. It's definitely not the kind of person that I ever felt like I was better than anyone else, individually. And I think that's kind of what separated me maybe to become, who I am now and really criticizing and pulling apart the Jewish culture, and then finding, Jesus too. So,
when did you make that transition? When did you find your real calling? At what age, approximately?
It
sounds
it
like
was
a process, but
it definitely was a process. Like culminating, I didn't consider myself a Christian until last year. It was a few things. It was a couple ego deaths, a couple actual close to death moments, and I feel like I was saved in a way, and we'll get into that some other time. But also just, I'm been involved with the Yay 24 campaign a bit, and when Kanye sort of, made his sleepy tweet against the Jews and lost billions of dollars, I realized right then that they were exposing themselves for as much power as they have and as much power as they were being accused of having. And I just said right there, like, all right, enough is enough. This is getting too shady. I really wanted to take a step back from the greed that seems to be really the god of Jews. All they care about seems to be money, definitely over God or anything holy. And I really started to step away and examine what that was starting to look like in our culture, in the culture of the world. And it's been beyond damaging for society, for these people to be in control as they are.
Oh, my God. Well, let's just look at morality. This country, and I know it was a Jewish construct, basically sold through the, the mass media, Hollywood, TV, or, well, in the later days, in the early days, they set up and Frank Capra Films. That was the morality of this country. And then they took it all down. They shredded it. They took it apart. All the porn industry is essentially, oh, it's a Jewish operation. And if you want to destroy morality, you know, put porn out there and get little children to watch it, which is what they did, and et cetera. And now this whole thing with transgender and these horrible book reading sessions by these trannies. Little children, when they declared war on little children and childhood and the innocence thereof, I just said, this is Satan's work. And I'm not religious per se, but this is evil. There is good and there is evil. And this is as black as it gets. When you destroy children, their innocence, and their lives with this, and force them into this sexualization, I mean, there is Jewish supremacy in the raw. It's what they do. And it's just dreadful.
I couldn't agree more. They really like, it's very perverse. And, you know, they somehow make money off of it, too. And it's really disgusting. I have been, this really where I started with the whole transgender thing, really realizing how perverse everything was. I mean, there is just no regard for these people's lives. Whether they're children or adults, this is not like a medical, this is not a medical resolution. This is a mental health crisis, and it
I don't want to use the pedestrian term, but it's a mind F, okay? In the worst sense. They just destroy people's minds.
And they're being encouraged by society to embrace that, promote it amongst their peers, and it's incredible what really takes on. You know, I don't know how these things become popular, and Jews have that much influence. It's really it's mind-boggling, but I really truly think that people are starting to wake up, and those who have been for a while have been silenced, obviously, with the censorship, which, you know, all the controls come from the, you know, Jews and WEF and, Israel. So people have been speaking out against these things, or at least trying to, but now, I mean, now with these tunnels getting, you know, today getting uncovered and with what's going on in Gaza, I heard someone say, like, on a podcast, you know, what better time to hate on Jews? And I'm like, it's true. We need to capitalize on this. So that's really, like, how I truly feel about it. It's now or never. The time is almost up for anything
well
holy.
Said. Agreed. Yeah. I completely concur. And I watched this whole media reconstruction, debilitation, just takedown and then reconstruction of our culture like you did. And it's appalling to me. I didn't think that this LGBTQ plus crap and the tranny crap would ever gain any traction. I thought it would be laughed away and just forced into oblivion. No. Not when you own all the media. No, you just repeat the lie over and over again, or the perversion, and it eventually begins to appear to most people that it has some substance. Well, it has none except depravity, whatever you want to say. It's awful. And because they own the media, well, they own the minds and souls, frankly, of most people, not all. But they control so much. It is over the top crazy, and it's all fueled by greed. And how much greed is too much? How much money is too much for these people? Most of
them. There's no limit.
Thank you.
There
exactly.
is no limit at all. I mean, if they could have been satisfied with any amount of money, we wouldn't be here where we are today. They'll destroy everything. And then each other, probably, you know?
Well,
but not
ultimately,
only do they own the media.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Lisa. I was going to say, not only do they own the media, they have, like, commercials and during the LGBTQ in your face that way and pride commercials, but they own the music industry, too. So you have to think of how disgusting. I mean, I don't watch TV, but people have pointed out, you know, Sam Smith's performances. It's just really, I mean, there's, who even cares if there's kids in the audience? Those kids are going to see it. It's demonic. It's super gay. It's super provocative. And these are supposed to be rock stars that people idolize, you know, and it's really mm-hmm. turned into, it's just coming from all parts of life. It's everything you see, everything you buy, everything you eat, everything you, you know, hear is telling people, you know, be as gay as you can be and then brag about it because you're better than other people. It's like they're using a tick from their own book.
It's true. It's totally true. And I don't think a child is really the most innocent, kind, wonderful thing on this planet. And they take quickly that child and destroy that child's whole ethos. It's just gone. And not in every case, but if those children, if their parents buy them a cell phone, those kids are gone. They're going to be turned against you so fast. Parents out there, don't do it. Do not do it. I don't care how many times your child comes to you and says, well, all my friends, don't do it. You're going to lose them. They'll be gone. You're going to lose them anyway, in most cases, not all. But it's tough out there. I honestly never thought, Lori, that this evil horror of LGBTQ plus and all the rest of it would ever have traction. I just didn't think. Yeah. I was a television news director, news anchorman for 12 years. I've been doing this program for a long time. And I thought I knew the public tolerance levels fairly well. But when this began to hold on, I couldn't believe it. And then you look at all the school boards behind this stuff, and they're putting it into elementary schools. I said, where did these people come from? It's a Zionist, communist, Bolshevik overthrow of the formerly United States of America. That's it in a nutshell. And it
got it. That's for sure. This country it's almost past tense at this point, America. I feel, you know, if it's not over, it's almost over. But we just need to remain, like, as pure and dedicated to God and Jesus as we can. And we need to resist this overwhelming trend towards Satan. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Everything that's being put into our culture and brought to our children in the most pure and innocent are being destroyed by satanic forces represented by, you know, Judaism. There's no other real way to say it.
You got it. Now, facts are facts, okay? And if there's another explanation that's more viable, then I'd like to hear it. But the names tell the story. The people tell the story. And I've got this thing up on the top of the homepage there. It's a list of flyer after flyer after flyer. And there are more of them. I don't have them all. And it shows how all the media, all major politicians, all finance, all of it, all the choke points of mass social discipline are all owned by them. They control it. They created it. And there's nothing left to chance. Nothing. It's amazing to me. Now they've got AI, Lori, to do it. And they can monitor everything at the speed of light and then some. So the challenge has never been more apparent, more obvious, or I think more critical than it is right now. Your point is very well stated and taken. We've got to do, if we don't fight back now, and I think the first thing you should do is get your kids the hell out of public school if you can humanly do it. Shut off the commercial television. Pick things that your kids can watch in a video sense that are reasonably moral, like the old Disney. If Walt is around now, I can't even imagine how he must feel what they've done to his name and the goodness that man created for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They've just trashed Disney. It's like trashing Catholicism, which is also underway now, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Oh, they love that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So tell us more. Give us your thoughts and your friends. I don't know if you grew up with Jewish friends, if you went to synagogue often. And how did that play out as a youngster when you knew You weren't that. That's not you. You knew that at an early age somehow.
I think I was just feeling at the time like socially awkward or more independent thinker type of person. I've always been that way. So I didn't peg it to be, you know, and I was having, you know, issues with my family too. It just something wasn't right the whole time. And you know, not that I'm not socially awkward now and kind of like to be isolated sometimes, but I definitely know who the enemy is now and, you know, what kind of people I should be surrounding myself with instead of, you know, being forced into, you know, a synagogue of like-minded,
synagogue of Satan. They do force you in it too. They force obedience. They force obeyance. And it's hard to turn that message away that you're actually in a class by yourself. You're the chosen. You're better than everyone else. That appeals to just baseline human ego. So it's an easy sell. And then when you literally beat it into the societal DNA of children, they don't want to let that go.
Well, you see videos in Israel nowadays of kids spitting on Christians, Jewish kids spitting on the Christians. So, you know, that's where that came from. I went to Israel a couple times. I didn't see any of that there then, but if it existed, I'm sure it did, and it's only gotten worse because I'm sure they're just, over the last 10 years, just ramping up this insane level of Zionism worldwide. You know, they invented cancel culture to make sure that no one can say anything otherwise. And they're just really, you know, destroying the world happily.
There was one, and, there was another clip of some Jews. It was in Israel somewhere, I don't know where, but there were some Christians, and they were yelling at the Christians. A lot of ugly words, and then the one guy said, "We killed your Jesus, and we'd do it again if we possibly could," something like that. Just hate.
Sarah Silverman said that on a comedy special a couple years ago.
Oh.
"I hope we did kill Jesus," she said. "We would do it again." I mean, and that was supposed to be a joke, like a funny comedian saying that.
And the audience no doubt laughed, right, on cue.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Sickening.
I'm sure there were a lot of Christians in the audience. It's unfortunate.
Well, here, okay, let me go back. Now, you may remember this. There was a movie, what's that guy's name? It was called, I think it was called Knocked Up. Am I remembering right?
Oh, yeah, with Seth Rogen, is that his name?
That. And it was, okay, it was an orgy of Jewish narcissism, basically, and put downs of Catholics and Christians. I can't remember the details, but I happened to be in a movie theater, and there were 8 screens or something, and my movie got out, and I was walking out. And there's this other screen, 2 or 3 away from me as I'm walking out, and it said, "Knocked Up." And I looked around, and no one was there. So I went in the door, and I just stood there in the back. And I'm no prude. I couldn't believe the disgusting gutter crap that was being pushed on people as comedy. There was nothing funny about it. And yet the audience, which had to be 90-95% Christian, was howling on cue, like they had been programmed and they were robotic. They just laughed whenever they were told to laugh. You know, they got the setup and then the punchline and they laughed. And I left after about 15 minutes. I said, "This is over. This is not going anywhere good."
Yeah, it's just, well, you know who runs Hollywood, so what do you think do you think is going to happen? Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly More program people laughing at, you know, Christians' expense.
Yes. Remember in the 30s and 40s, MGM, I don't know if you're a film buff at all, but MGM and the other majors, they were all utterly Jewish, absolutely Jewish. And they made a lot of films, though, that had wonderful values, like It's a Wonderful Life, the Christmas classic, and Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or whatever. And they created our own culture. They created our history in those movies. And then they took them all apart. They destroyed it all. And there was a very famous film director named Frank Capra. And I got to spend an hour with Frank Capra talking about he made It's a Wonderful Life and others, many others. His films were always, you know, Apple Pie. What is it? Apple Pie is something. U.S.
American Pie.
That's something
so
like
bad
that.
At movies.
Anyway, it was all formula American culture and what we were supposed to be like. And people were very happy living in that matrix. It was a controlled matrix. I understand that. But people were happy and nobody was getting hurt. And now, where are we? Who's running the cell phone industry? Who's running all of it? When you have teenagers who are so addicted to these phones and social media that they're literally committing suicide, Lori, rather than be beaten down by their friends and mocked for whatever reason, that's power. That's incredible power that these kids are being controlled by. Go ahead. I'm talking too much here. Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's really hard. It's a hard thing to stand up to. I mean, and kids don't even know what they're up against. Adults don't even know what they're up against. So, you know, the solutions, I mean, again, I'll bring it back to kind of the Kanye connection and the Yay 24 connection. In our community, we've been saying it's time to start exiling people for sure. Like, that's the answer. It's time to start exiling people. It's America first, and we need to save ourselves. We're on the brink of collapse if we haven't already done it. And it's not gonna allow us to formulate a plan over the next 10 years. We don't have that much time. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the next couple of years play out for sure.
You're so right. We're out of time, friends.
We're out of time
right now. We are out of time. To vote in a national election is an absurd waste of time. We know
now that
everything's corrupted and fixed. We know that. To trust politicians, are you crazy? And I'm talking about local level, too. They've gotten all the way down to the local level. And any of you who have children in school had better look at your school board composition immediately and start thinking about trying to put good people in there when you find losers. And boy, they're in there, believe me. They went after the schools and the Department of Education, and they have made schools now into a brainwashing orgy of confusion, self-loathing, and self-loving. I mean, it works both ways. These kids and their social media addictions are the number one addiction in America. It's enormous. When I say kids, I'm talking about adults too, up to 40, 45. They've got their phones. They can't put them down. They've got to have that phone.
It's true. It's like making them have divorces and like affairs, and there's nothing really on the internet that you really need to be glued to that often, because everything is perverse as dictated by, you know, the undercover dictators, these Jews.
Yes, go ahead. Go.
I had a thought before, but it'll come to me. What were you going to say?
I have a friend who's a Palestinian, and she lived in Gaza, I guess, for a while. And I don't know where she is. She's somewhere else now. She's out of Palestine, out of the Israeli sphere. But when she was, I think she lived in Rafah, and that's the border town, I think. That's by Egypt. I think that's Rafah. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. She said the Israeli Defense Forces, the IOF, the Israeli Occupation Forces, had come into her city, her town, her area, and taken over her 6- or 7-story apartment building. She lived on the fifth floor or something. They took over the roof, set up snipers and all that, just to dominate and lord it over the Palestinians. And they'd shoot a few once in a while. She was ordered to go up and bring...
I've seen videos like that,
Yeah. She was ordered to bring them, she was a teenager at the time, ordered to bring them water and food every day. And just, she said, she described them, and it was horrible. And she said sometimes she'd go up there, and these are all men, and they were engaged in homosexuality right on the roof, right out there in broad daylight, just serving each other's needs,
sinful,
or whatever you want to call it.
Sinful
she said
people.
They were... They were pernicious. They were just perverse. That's the best word. And I don't know what it is. I've known people who have been married to Jewish women, and they end up getting tossed out on their ass, and they get taken for almost everything. And then I have other people say that a lot of, not all, and you Jews listening, I'm not talking about all of you, but many Jewish men are depraved, sexually depraved. They just abuse. What's the word? Shiksa? for Goyim mm-hmm, women?
Yeah, right. Shiksas.
Well, they just use them. That's the story. They just use them.
A lot of Jewish men are mama's boys, too. They just have complex upon complex, you know? It's just, and now they have this, like, big masculine, like, oh, look at me, I got a, you know, like the CEO of the ADL who reminds me so much of my uncle. I can't stand him. Can't stand either of them, kind of. It's pretty bad. But what I remember I was going to say before is when we were talking about local politicians and people on school boards, I think I'm running for Mass GOP, Republican State Committee.
I saw it, but please spend some time on that. This is important.
Yeah, so when I was working for the Yay 24 campaign, someone involved said, you know, you should really volunteer for your local Republican party just to get some experience, understand sort of how the system works, the ins and outs. So I asked a couple people that were well-connected around here. I said, what do you think? You know, I was going to try to find my own kind of independent, like, sort of volunteer opportunity that would get me the most value.
Sure.
I was asking some people who they thought I should kind of work with, and answers from two people were, everyone's corrupt as shit. What are you going to do? Like, why don't you just run yourself? And so come to find out, one of the people I asked was actually running, and I became, like, his running mate, basically. He was running for state committee man, and I was running for state committee woman of our district, which is Boston. And so that has been going really interestingly because I got on the ballot, which was a bit of work in itself. And then the posts of my online posts about how I love Hitler started coming out and started getting some press. And it caused a lot of ruckus. Like, they all actually was supposed to go to a meeting. And at this meeting, they voted to condemn me for my anti-Israel posts. Instead of talking
about the Republicans did? The GOP?
Yep. And these are people that I actually should have been at that meeting, but I decided they might not let me in. So these are the people that, you know, are actually candidates in other districts. And so kind of like my counterparts. If I win, they're going to have a really interesting time trying to work with me. I'll tell you that much. But they've definitely been, like, the Republican Party in itself has just been trying to cancel and dox me. And
sure. Oh, and yeah. I'm sure.
Yes. So, I mean, whether or not I win, we'll see. We've discussed just now how corrupt these things are anyway.
Yeah.
But right. I want to use the platform to sort of awaken people to what's going on. And so far, so good in that regard, causing a lot of disruption. So that
good
might
for
be a
you.
Good thing.
Remember what the old Jews say. Think about it. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
You couldn't tell that to my running mate, though. He abandoned me.
Well,
he
disassociated
his campaign from mine. Honestly, it's worked so much better because now I can be much more direct with my messaging. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We don't have to see eye to eye on what's going to offend people or not, because I really don't care about that kind of thing.
You shouldn't. How are you campaigning? How does this? Now, it says for a state. It's a state. What is it called? It's not assembly. What is it?
Republican State Committee.
State Committee, okay.
So, yeah. So it's like an unpaid position. It's really, it's kind of like an entry-level government position. It only involves like maybe five or six meetings throughout the year, and you're able to vote on city council issues. But in Boston, it's so corrupt. If I win and get in there, you know, I'll be the biggest minority voice ever. But, you know, you never know who is going to change their positions on real things that matter. And it's not even about politics anymore. It's a battle of good versus evil. And it has been for a long time, if not forever.
Nicely said and totally correct. Yeah.
So it's really not like, oh, I'm getting into politics. No, I'm just battling this war, you know?
Got to get away from the labels. There's a uniparty here. There's no real difference between. It's a joke.
It's disgusting. It's a huge joke. I don't even know. This system, we're never going to fix this system within this system. It needs to be overthrown. It's within our constitutional rights to do so. I just don't know how it's going to go down, but it needs to.
Well, I'm Laura, you're really talk about a breath of fresh air, just as a general statement. An American to be speaking out like this is great to hear. I don't hear anybody in the traditional left-right Democrat-Republican paradigm speaking even half as articulately as you, half as forthright or honest. Your honesty is your strong suit. You are 100% honest. You'll tell it like you see it. And I always have done the same thing. And that's what this audience
likes.
Yeah,
that's the only way you can be genuine, you know, and you have to be genuine.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Now, when you said you love Hitler, I just want you to know going in that I have been a student of World War II history, the real World War II history, and the real truth about Germany and what Hitler did for the German people to overthrow, to get the Bolsheviks, Zionists, and communists reduced and then removed. I learned about the Holocaust fake when I was in college long, long ago. And I've had, I don't know if you've seen the Luchter Report or any of that, but I had Fred Luchter on the program 25 years ago. Anyway, I've known about this, and for people to try to smear you, well, you love Hitler. Well, just for fun, tell us your view of Adolf Hitler, and we know the winners write the story of any war. That's the way it always is. But what are your thoughts about Germany in the 30s and what Hitler did to get himself on the cover of Time magazine three times, Man of the Year? He was the most loved man in the world, and now they try to make him out to be the most hated. Well, it doesn't work, and more people are realizing that they've been conned. And how can Mein Kampf still be the second most popular book in the world if it was the ravings of a madman? Figure that out. So what are your thoughts on
it? I'll be the first to admit I have a lot more to learn on this topic, and I'm excited to dig in. I have books being sent to me right now, like The Third Reich. I can't wait to read everything. But, you know, the Jews hated Jesus, too. The Jews hate Hitler. The Jews hate Ye. The Jews hate me. It's like, okay, I'm seeing a pattern here. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to compare myself with any of these great men, but, like, these
Understood.
Are all people that had moral standards, and there's a reason why they've canceled them. You know, their morals stand up against their perversions, the Jews' perversions. And I know that, you know, obviously, you know, something happened during World War II. Obviously, people were killed. That's what happens in war. But the entire narrative is absolutely false. I know that there were no gas chambers. There were Jews working in Hitler's cabinet. And that, I mean, like, he didn't even hate Jews in that sense.
No. And there were somewhere around 300,000-400,000 Jews, German Jews, in the German military. And the Americans thought they were all the same evil Germans. They didn't understand. They were fighting against Jews of German descent. It's crazy. It's all crazy.
I mean, they just picked the narrative that would work the best to make them benefit and profit from victimhood. And that's what they went with. I would start to pull out a different fun fact. It's not really a good way to put it. A different part of World War II just on my Twitter. I said, hey, has anybody ever wonder who wrote that book, Anne Frank? And I'm like, me neither. That book sucked. But somebody, you know, posted, I didn't know for sure it was fake yet, but then, you know, come to find out with someone responding, it was total, like, it was a psyop, of course, just like everything else.
Yeah.
Find one thing that holds up. You really can't.
Can't do it. If you really do your research and really look at the facts, it all falls apart. They've probably scored over $1 trillion altogether, I think, since the 40s on this. I don't know. I'm guessing maybe half a trillion. A lot of money. It's all about money. As far as the war goes, I'll go with and I don't like the Red Cross, but I'll go with the International Red Cross. They had offices at Auschwitz. They were monitoring all of that. They were passing out Christmas gifts and sending out Christmas gifts and letters and all. They said in 1947, early 47, I believe it was, the formal tally of the number of people who who died in all the alleged German concentration camps, which were labor camps. The total number was less than 250,000 during the entire war years, and 90% of those were from disease, typhus, starvation, etc. There were no mass gas chambers. And let me tell you one other thing about Auschwitz. The gas chamber at Auschwitz is a complete, consummate fraud. The director of the Auschwitz State Museum, Dr. Franziszek Pieper, admitted on video to a Jewish reporter that the actual gas chamber that they show all the tourists was just a bomb shelter that, under orders of Stalin, was converted to allegedly be a gas chamber after the war ended to keep people hating the evil Germans.
Yeah, it looks like a garage with, like, no valves and anything.
You got it. You got it. That's Fred Luchter went over there, America's top capital punishment expert. He went over there and took the tour and took scrapings of the walls and the floors. There's no residue, nothing. He said you couldn't even hermetically seal that place. It was a joke. It would all gone down the sewers if there were gas and gas the whole camp and killed all the labor. And he completely exposed it. And I don't think he ever worked again. But the Luchter report is one you want to read. Luchter, Fred Luchter. And that's online.
I'll absolutely check that out. And the problem is nowadays, people are so intertwined with this fake matrix, this crappy ass matrix that has been given to us by the Jews, that if someone even tells you that they were lying, you know, it's debunking their own theory, like, this is actually what happened, we've been lying to you the entire time, I don't even think people would believe it coming from their own mouths at this point.
You're probably right.
I don't think there is any way to change it. They would be like, oh, that must be a clone or something. I can't imagine the excuse they would come up with, but people they would come up with some excuse not to believe it.
Well, look at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. 1932 was in Los Angeles, and 1936 was in Berlin. And the whole, that folk story about how Hitler looked away from Jesse Owens and would, all lies. The truth is, he actually at one point shook Jesse Owens' hand. Everything has been corrupted. The World War II is essentially a lie. You know, it happened. People died. It was horrible. But the political aspects of it have been so twisted and grotesquely reconfigured to suit the agenda of greed, dominance, avarice, control, and all the rest of it. It's mind-boggling what happened there.
Yeah.
They got away with it.
So far.
Not until now. people are realizing that there's something wrong with the Jewish supremacy and the victimhood story. There's something wrong with it. And, oh, are they right?
They sure are. And it's only, you know, it just seems like the pieces are falling apart minute by minute from their lies and their narrative. And I love to see it happen. I really do love to see it happen because, you know, I've been talking about this, I don't know, for at least a year and didn't know what was going to come of it. But now to see that there's almost too much speak against Judaism and against Zionism and against Israel right now, that it can't even all be censored at the same time. There's just too much of it. I love to see that.
It's heartening to see that. I used to try to explain this to people, you know, 30 years ago, and they would laugh. And then I got started with the program and had a platform, and people are open-minded. If you simply present reality to them, and if they're reasonably still malleable, they'll come around at least and look at it, which is important. So you're doing a really important thing there. And I'm not being corny here, but your courage is like Brother Nathaniel's. You're not going to back down. You stand on the truth.
Yeah, I'll never stop. That's for sure.
Well, we need every bit of that we can get. See, there's a reason. I don't know if you saw the story I had up at the top of the homepage. It's on the right side now. Jews have been the money changers. Jews mm-hmm. have been expelled from countries, cultures, nation states over 1,030 times over the last 2,000 plus years. There's
Let's
a
make
reason
it 34.
For that. Say again?
Let's make it the 134.
Yeah. Okay. There's a reason for that. And it just didn't happen. There's a reason for it. I just can't think of any power matrix that is not controlled or certainly compromised by the international Zionist Jewish control mechanism. They're all in there. And every spokesperson I seemingly hear or come across in the news is Jewish. Look at the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, okay? And now they've got another one. It's like a clone of Rochelle. Once they get in, you'll never get them out. Then they just take over.
Or they'll replace them with someone worse, honestly. That's the only other option.
That's usually correct. All right, now, is there anything that this program can do to help you with your campaign and your effort to get to this committee level?
Yeah, well, I do have a donation page up, which I wasn't going to have to rely on so much if I had a running mate. But now that I have my own, now that I'm using the campaign as a platform to spread this message, I'm going to do a lot of sort of marketing and collateral work to get this message out, you know, obviously to try to win too, but also inserting a lot of this information into my materials. It's a Give, Send, Go link. I think it's a Give, Send, Go / Lori24. I'll send you a link or something.
Send
maybe.
It to me. I'll put it up. This is good. I just had a note from Brother Nathaniel, and as you know, we go way back. I said, have you heard of Lori Kaufman? I said, she could be your sister or even a clone. She's on the program tonight. And he wrote back, yes, I'm really glad she's on your show tonight, Brother Nathaniel. So
that's excellent.
You got a fan there. Yeah, you got a
awesome.
A
fan of his as well. So I listened to your interview with him earlier today, and now I want to follow up with watching him on Alex Jones to see how it really went down.
He backed him up. I've never seen anybody stand up and back that person up like Brother Nathaniel did. He had all the facts, all the data. He didn't hum or haw. He stated it flatly, and he didn't start out each sentence with, and then go on from there. He just hit it. He hit the ground running, and he never slowed down. So I think you'll really like it.
I'm going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'll help you with this election. We have a lot of listeners up in New England, especially in Massachusetts. Is it statewide, is it?
Well, the election is, it's only people who live in Boston proper, who actually live in the city, are registered to vote in Boston, can vote for me. It's March 5th is the election. And you have
March
to be.
5th.
You just have to make sure you have to make sure you're Republican, registered Republican, or independent. So those are some things. A lot of people like were registered Democrat 4 years ago. They're like they need to fix that. So I'll be promoting my campaign throughout mostly Boston, a little bit of Massachusetts, just to get the word out. But you know, however far the message needs to spread, it's more about the messaging than it is about the triumph in this actual endeavor.
Understood.
Considering I'll just be one person out of 20 who feels the way I do, but it would be really fun to make them feel uncomfortable and have to work with me for sure.
they hate the truth. Last question. How does your family handle this? Do you still have ties with your family?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, my father passed away like when I was 25, and you know, all my grandparents passed away. My uncles, I'm not like fans of. My cousins don't talk to me. I'm just no interest there. I'm not interested, you know. If they want to find Jesus, and I hope I can get them to, but I'm not going to spend that much effort on it, then they can come hang out with me. But, like, otherwise, I really just have no use for Jews in my life. I know
Understood.
That sounds horrible.
Very good. Yep. Now, the last thing, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. All of you out there, and many of you have read them. If you haven't, you need to read this book. The Jews tried very hard to say it was a fraud. And frankly, I wouldn't care if it was a fraud, because it's the truth. It's the exact game plan of what they're doing. So it actually couldn't be a fraud, but it's the real deal. And you really, if you want to understand what's happening, that's a really good place to start.
And what is this?
The protocols. The protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It's a classic.
Okay.
Protocols of Zion, for short. So by all means, if you have people who want to understand, it's only about 100 pages. I think it's short. You might recommend that they take a look at that book. All right, March 5th.
I'm going to take a look at it as well.
Good. Oh, this is going to be good for you then. Oh, no, you'll this will be a real solid plank in your overall political campaign position, whether it's the election or not. Did we get, is March 5th Super Tuesday? I think it might be.
Yeah,
not sure.
I think so.
I think it may be. All right, well, we'll find out. Keep in touch with me, and if I can help you, Lori, I will be happy to.
Yeah, well, absolutely stay in touch, and thank you so much for having me on and everything you do.
No, thank you. It's my pleasure. You take care and be safe out there.
All right. Talk soon.
All righty. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Lori Kaufman. We'll have her back. And Brother Nathaniel, I think, is due to be on next week. Anyway, we'll get there. Okay. Back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.